Lord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
To our God.
To our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
To our God.
To our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Is to our God. God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
To our God.
Every praise.
sense in y'all sitting down.
Mm-mm. Uh-uh.
Y'all get up. Y'all show them. They're nervous. Y'all get up and show them.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to hear that good singing. And certainly not boring around here. Amen. I'm glad that God has allowed my wife and I the privilege of being able to be here with you and serve. And I like that song they sang about the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what we do until God shows up. our gimmicks, our programs, anything that we can come up with, it's nothing. It's all in vain unless the Holy Spirit comes down. If God's going to do anything here, He's going to do it. Anything we try to do is nothing. It's futile. A lot of times what people try to do, and I was talking to somebody this week, and they said they got together at their church to see what they could do to build the congregation. And as they got to the end, here was the gist of their comments. They said, so we could build a builder building and have a bigger salary. Now, I want to tell you something. I tell you what I want. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people come in here and be all to pieces and God get a hold of them, because I believe God can change people's lives. He's already done that, and that's what's important, okay? Sometimes I think we misunderstand or we lose direction, and sometimes God doesn't work because we don't really want to get out of God's way and let God do it, amen? And that's my heart's desire. Paul said, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that you might be saved. And what he's talking about is, I want to see them saved. Then you go on and you read in Paul's writing, his ministry was about seeing God's people grow. Now here's something that's in my heart. I want to see people saved. But if you're saved by the grace of God and you're not growing, you need to get to growing. Because if you're not growing, you're going in the wrong direction, because you cannot sit still. Because Satan will find an excuse for you and he'll hand it to you. And guess what? If you're not growing, you'll take it. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to be reading in Genesis chapter number 49. And I'll try my best to preach on this subject this morning, getting over the wall. In Genesis chapter number 49, this is Jacob's prophecy concerning his sons. At the end of Jacob's life, he calls his sons together and he begins to speak to them. And I want to read the first verse and then we'll go down to the 22nd verse, because I want this message, really, we're going to center it around the life of Joseph and look at what happened in Joseph's life. But when you see the prophecy or hear the words that Jacob said concerning his son Joseph, you'll understand what I mean by saying getting over the wall. But in the first verse, it says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Now, he begins to speak to them and prophesy concerning them, and not all the prophecies are good. Some of them are, but I think the most significant one, when you get down here to Joseph this morning, we want to talk about, if you go to the 22nd verse, listen to what Jacob says about his son. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And that's going to be our text verse, but we want to read down through verse number 26. It says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee, with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors. And what he's talking about there is his forefathers or his ancestors. And then you go on and you read, and it says, and to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Go back and read the 22nd verse again. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. And God, we look to you. We need you, Lord. Lord, there's nothing that I can do. There's no ability that I have. There's nothing that I have to bring to stand before your people. God, I pray that you'd send the message and the words, Lord, this morning, Lord, exactly as you would have them brought, that you'd speak to our hearts and our minds, and you'd help us, Lord, to be able to see who you are. Lord, help us, Lord, to speak only those things, Lord, that you would have spoken. Bring to our hearts and our minds remembrance of those things, Lord, that you would have. Lord, as we trust in you and we look to you, for we know that it's not about us, We pray that you'd be honored, you'd be glorified, and you'd be lifted up. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you look at this is scripture, this prophecy, and it's speaking of Jacob's children. And when he gets to Joseph, he begins to really to talk about Joseph, and he begins to lift him up, and to some extent above some of his brethren. And if you go down to that 26th verse, he talks about how that God has blessed him more than his forefathers, or more than his ancestors, or more than his brethren. But when he begins to talk in the 22nd verse, he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a bough by a well. And as I read that, I thought about Psalms chapter number 1, and I want to flip over there, and I want to read the first three verses out of Psalms chapter number 1, where it says these words. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, if you look at Joseph's life, you'll find that this scripture mentioned in Psalms chapter number 1, and these verses line right up with Joseph's life. He said he's a fruitful bough, even a bough by a well. And when you go to Psalms chapter number 1, he said he'll be like a tree planted by the water. And here's what I want you to see in this, and what I want you to understand, is when you're a fruitful bough and you're by a well, there's always a water source. If you're a tree planted by the rivers of water, there is always a water source. And if you look at, you know, that's why on the side of the highway, when you're going down the road, a lot of times at night, deer will come out and graze right beside the pavement, because the pavement holds moisture, and that's where the most fertile grass is at. And what this is saying is that Joseph was connected to a power source, and he was fruitful, and he brought forth fruit because of that power source. Now, you know, we've all been through droughts in our life. We've all been through dry times. But what we need to be connected to is the Lord, okay? Because you can't count on this world. You cannot count on your job. You cannot count on the government. You cannot count on even the people around you. You got to rely and depend upon the Lord. Now, when I look at this scripture and I see it and what he's talking about Joseph, he's saying Joseph is fruitful. But if you look at the 23rd verse, I want you to see what he begins to talk about in Joseph's life. He said, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now, if you know the story of Joseph's life, Joseph went through a lot of things. He had a lot of walls that he had to get over. But if you look at this scripture, it says his branches run up and over the wall. Now, every one of us here in this house this morning, we've all got walls in our life. We've all got things that we have to stand up against, things that we have to fight against, things that create and cause problems for us. There are things in our past that bring difficulty to mind. There are things that we deal with, whether it be physical, mental, or otherwise emotional, that create walls in our life. But here Jacob is saying, Joseph's bowels ran up and over the wall. Now, what I want us to look at are some of the walls in Joseph's life. What kind of walls did Joseph have to overcome? Now, when we look at it, and I've said this before, when I look at the characters in the Bible, Joseph is one that I really like. He's one that I want to be like, because everything that Joseph did, everywhere Joseph went, God blessed him. He blessed him, even though he was sold into slavery, even though he was in prison, God blessed Joseph. And I like that, but Joseph had walls that he had to get over. Now, here's the first wall that I want to talk about. It was the wall of being abused during childhood. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but Joseph was abused by his brethren during his childhood. Because when Joseph was there, and he was the 11th born of 12 brethren, and he was beloved of his father, because the scripture says that he was the son of his father's old age. His father loved him and made him a coat of many colors, and he put it upon him, and he was his father's pride and joy. But when his eldest brothers, beginning from the eldest down to the others, they looked at him, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, they hated him, and they conspired together against him. Now, you know, in the United States today, and especially in Atlanta, and the Atlanta airport is the number one hub for human trafficking in the United States. Now, I don't know if you understand what happened here, but this man was so hated by his brethren that he was sold into slavery. Now, you think you've got problems. I want you to understand something. This one was hated so much by his brothers that they took him and sold him into a human trafficking trade. Now, when we read the scripture, do we really realize or we just look at what happened in Joseph's life? I want you to understand that as a teenage boy, he was hated so much by his brothers that they took him roughly, ripped his coat off of him, threw him down into a pit, and they were going to kill him. They were going to kill him. But they begin to talk, understanding in their mind, this is our brother, and we do not want his blood upon us. Let's just sell him to the Ishmaelites and let him go into trafficking and into slavery. Then here's something I want you to understand. They had no idea what was going to happen to him. When they sold him, they took the gold or the silver that they had and they put it in their pockets and split it amongst themselves. They killed an animal and dipped his coat in it and went back home and handed that coat to his brother, to his daddy. And his dad began to weep and to grieve, and he said, I'll go down to my grave grieving for my son. And he handed him a coat dipped in blood. He said, well, look at the coat. Is this not your son's coat? You know, and now here's something I want us to understand when we look at this and we begin to understand this scripture. Joseph had a wall that he had to get over. He had a wall to climb over. And a lot of times what people say is, I'm this way because of what happened in my childhood. I'm this way because of what happened in my past. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. The God I serve is big enough to help you get over your past. He's big enough that no matter what you faced in your life, He can take you to the place that you can get victory. Amen. My daddy was the son of an alcoholic. My daddy left home. Now, I thank God that my daddy was a Christian man. Brother Tom, I was raised in a Christian home. And there's some things that I don't understand, but I'll tell you what I do understand. And I want you to understand this. I know that if it were not for the grace of God, when I see somebody laying in the gutter, that'd be I, but for the grace of God. I used to work down in Atlanta, and I was working on the Atlanta Union Mission one time, putting windows in the side of it, and I could look out the window, and I would see them every morning crawl out of the dumpster. I would see them sharing liquor bottles. I would see them sharing needles. But the Spirit of God touched my heart and said, there go I, but for the grace of God. Don't think you're anything. It's only because of the Lord. My dad was raised in the house of an abusive alcoholic father. He left home when he was 14 years old and went out on his own. Quit school in the eighth grade. Never had a whole lot of education, okay? Never had a whole lot of Bible college, but I want to tell you this. Sometimes we get confused about what's important. What's important is following the Spirit of God, having a prayer life, and letting God have His way, and preaching the uncompromised Word of God, because there's two things that'll build a New Testament church. That's prayer, number one, and preaching. At 14 years old, he left home, and he went out and he started working. He met my mother and they were married at 16. I'm not encouraging that, young people. But when I look at his life, you know a lot of times what people say? And I've heard this. My dad abused me. That's why I abused my wife. My dad was an alcoholic. That's not an excuse for you. You see, because my mother told me the story that when I was just a baby, my dad had been out with some of his uncles and they had been making peach whiskey, homemade moonshine. And he'd been out there drinking that stuff, fighting with his brothers, fighting with his uncles. And he came in and he laid down in the bed and he looked up and he said, the moon just like looked like it got so big. You know, sometimes what we need is God to give us a vision of the abyss that we could realize that our life could be snuffed out and we'd go headlong into hell without God. And he said, I saw the moon getting bigger and bigger. He said, God spoke to my heart. And he said, I remember my mama telling me this. She said, would you put your hand over that baby's eyes so that he won't see me this way? And he got down by the bed that night and he gave it to God. And he got up and he started trusting God and he started serving God. And from the time he was 20 years old, he was pastoring churches and he was serving God. He wasn't depending on what he knew. He was depending on the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to guide him. I want you to know, Joseph got over his wall. You can get over yours. This wall is hard to get over. Now, I'm not saying that what you've experienced doesn't hurt you. It does. It does. One time, Kendra and I were pastoring, or I say pastoring, you might as well say it's pastoring. By the way, I want to tell you this. If you're teaching a Sunday school, you're pastoring that group, okay? Well, we were in a Sunday school class that had a bunch of young people in it, and we had one little girl in our class that come from a broken home. And she had been in a lot of heartaches and situations in her life. And I cannot tell you how many times that Kendra and I got down at the altar and prayed with that young lady because she could not get satisfied in her salvation. She said, my daddy rejected me. My daddy didn't love me. My daddy was a bad example to me. How can I believe that there's a God in heaven that'll love me the way you say? She never felt like she was good enough. Let me go ahead and get this out of the way. You're simply not good enough. Anything that happens here, it's not because of us. It's because God loved us. But I learned as we tried to counsel with her, the things in your past, they're real. And they affect you. But Joseph had a wall to get over when he was sold and they took him. They did not take him and put him in the guest chamber. He was a slave. And when his brothers watched him go out of sight, they said, good riddance. But they had no idea what would happen in his life. But what did Jacob say? He said, Joseph's bowels run up and over the wall. They went over that wall because Joseph had a relationship with God. Remember, he was by a well. He was like a righteous man that is a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want you to see the second wall that Joseph had to get over was the wall of temptation. You see, when Joseph got down there and he was sold by the Ishmaelites and he was sold into a man whose name was Potiphar. And at this time, he was about 17 years old. And as he went into Potiphar's house, because the hand of God was upon him, everything he did, it prospered. And he was there. And here's sometimes what people go through. They say, well, because I'm in this situation, because I'm treated this way, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. It just doesn't matter. What difference does it make if I just go and do what I want to do? I've heard people say, what difference does it make if I do drugs? Nobody loves me. What difference does it make if I quit my job? It doesn't matter anyway. I want you to know it matters. I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that even in a strange land, even in a difficult place, God knows where you're at. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And God cares about you and what's going on in your life. Well, he got down here in this house. And this woman, she cast her eyes upon him. She began to look at him, and the scripture says that day after day, she pressed him to lie with her. In other words, here's what she say: my husband is gone away, and he's left you in control of everything in the house. Come and lie with me. But he wouldn't do it. I heard Ravi Zacharias, a preacher, a lot of you know who he is. He was talking about speaking on the subject of Joseph at a youth conference at a college. And he said a young man came up to him and said these words. He said, "Now I tell you what I'd have done. See, if I'd have been Joseph," he said, "here I am, a young man, a beautiful woman. I'd have just went in there with her. What difference does it make?" I'll tell you what difference it makes. There is a God in heaven, and there is a standard. There is a right. There is a wrong. And everything you do is in the eyes of the Lord. It's kind of like this. Y'all have heard the statement, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." Now, I'll tell you what. Somebody, the person that said that must not have been saved. That's all I can say. Okay, I want to tell you something. There's nothing hidden from the eyes of God. He sees it all. He knows it all. And there will be a judgment day. See, Joseph overcame the wall of temptation. Sometimes people choose to compromise with this wall. Especially if they've been mistreated, they'll easily try to make an excuse and say, "Well, look at how I've been treated." It's kind of like this. I've heard people say this. "Well, my wife's not paying me any attention anyway." That does not give you a free pass. I want to tell you something, man. You're responsible to God regardless of what your wife does. I want to tell you something, lady. And Kendra and I were talking about this. She said, "You know, lately it seems like every situation we see." And I want to tell you something, ladies. You're responsible too. You don't get a free pass. You're responsible for God. You don't get a free pass because somebody didn't treat you the way you wanted to be treated. The scripture says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." We can't blame it on God. I've heard people try to do that. They try to make excuses. It's almost like this: "Pastor, can you help me pray about something?" I want to tell you right now, don't ask me to help you pray about something that's against God's Word. Okay? God's Word's already spoken. I liked what the man said here last Monday night when he was preaching in the Celebrate Recovery meeting. And he did preach, and I appreciate preaching because I want to tell you this right now. You need to be saved. You might have an addiction problem, but you don't want to get over your addiction problem and die and go to hell because you never accept Christ. And he was preaching, and he said, now we, you know, a lot of people now, they text. They don't talk on the phone, they text, especially y'all young people. God sent us a text message right here. I like that when he said that. God has given us his word. And we don't have to pray about something that's written in God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Now in Joseph's life, here's how he got over the wall. You know, sometimes doing the right thing will cost you. Sometimes it'll cost you something. This woman pressed him till one day she grabbed a hold of his coat. And she went to pull him to her, and he ran from her, and that coat come off in her hand. And she went and told lies about Joseph. And when she told lies about Joseph, it cost him. But what did Joseph say? "How can I sin against God and do this great wickedness?" You see, sometimes people only think it's a sin if they get caught. I want you to know something. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. He's the only one you need to be concerned about. God sees. So Joseph had the wall of being abused during childhood. Then he had the wall of temptation. But then he had the wall of being falsely accused and suffering for doing what is right. Now it's one thing for us to stand and say, I'm going to do what's right. Because when I do and I walk down the aisles of the church, they're going to throw rose petals. They're going to bring me up before the church and they're going to talk about how good I've been and what I've done. But what about when you're at work and they say, you know, we got a promotion for you. But we kind of need you to be in charge of this, but we need you to overlook these certain things. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to be right with God, or could I potentially lose my job? Now, that's reality, folks. And here's Joseph in Potiphar's house. You know, sometimes people say, well, he could have had it all. He could have kept his job, and he could have had Potiphar's wife. But he would not have been right with God. So he decided that he was going to stand for what's right. And I want to tell you something about this wall. If you get over this wall, it's going to force humility in your life. And it's going to force you to surrender to the sovereign will of an almighty God. It'll force you. Because you have to do, the only way you can get over this wall is to fall down on your face before God and to surrender to His will, trusting that He knows what's best for you, even if you can't see it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 17, it says, "For it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil." Now, it's one thing to suffer because you did something wrong. Sometimes people say, well, you know, so-and-so's talking about you. Go ahead. And I said this out here the other day. I said, I don't worry about the things that people say that are not true. I worry about the things that people say that are true. Because we all got stuff. We all got stuff. But when Joseph faced this wall, I want you to know something. You ever been in a situation that things are bad and things start to get better and then all of a sudden it just gets worse? That's the way it was for Joseph. See, he was taken down here and he was sold into slavery, but it wasn't that bad when he went into Potiphar's house because he ate good food. He sat almost as if he were at the king's table. And it got to the point that everything Potiphar had in his house, he placed it in Joseph's hand. Now, he's away from home. He's still a slave in a strange land, but it's not that bad. But all of a sudden now, he has to make a decision if he's going to stand for what's right. And when he makes the decision to stand, he's cast into prison. And when he's cast into prison, guess who he's in prison with? Prisoners. I mean, he's in there with people that have committed murder. He's in there with people that have stolen. He's in there with people that have done all manner of evil things. And as I read this past week and I read a passage to Kendra, all the smells, all the dirt, all the things that we oftentimes don't want to touch were right in his face. The question then becomes, am I going to quit right now on God, or am I going to stand and trust and keep going and doing the right thing? He's here in prison. He's rejected. He's at a very, very low point. What I read in the scripture is Joseph's bowels went up and over that wall. Because when he was there in prison, just like when he was in Potiphar's house, everything that Joseph did and every word that Joseph spoke, God was with him. So much so that the keeper of the prison placed everything in Joseph's hand. Now, folks, I got another message on the hand of God. I come in here this morning, I had four. I'm sitting over here in the corner, I'm begging God to show me what He wants. But I want you to understand something. You need the hand of God in your life. That's how you can get over your walls. So God blessed him in the prison. But he's still in prison. He's still in a dingy cell. He still doesn't have a mattress like you've got. He doesn't have a pillow that, like you've got, that he lays his head on. And he hears that door slam. And he eats the food that they give him. And two men come to him and they've had a dream. It's the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. And Joseph interprets their dream. And he tells the butler, he said, when you are restored, remember me. See, the fourth wall that I see that Joseph had to get over was the wall of being forgotten by those whom he has helped. And not only forgotten, but forgotten when you need them. You see, there are people in this church that love people. They have a giving spirit. But have you ever loved somebody and give to them and cared for them, and just as soon as you need them, they're not to be found? Just as soon as you need somebody to help you, there's nobody there. Just as soon as you need somebody that'll reach out and show mercy to you. And here's Joseph, and they leave in 2 years after he interprets the dream for the butler. He forgets him, and he's in that prison, and he's forgotten. He's forgotten by those that he has helped, and he's forgotten when he needs them the most. Well, there comes a time when Joseph is remembered, because Pharaoh has a dream and the butler says, "Oh yeah, I forgot." And they call Joseph, and we know the story that Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he is set up basically to lead a program where they will store corn for 7 years. Because the Bible says there would be 7 years of famine and then 7 years of drought. And so much so that if they had not restored, the scripture says that Joseph was responsible for saving not only his own family. Understand the significance of that, is it is from the tribe of Judah that Jesus was to come. So he was responsible for saving and restoring the tribe of Judah, the seed of Jesus, of David, that was to come. But that he saved many people alive. But there comes a day when he's there and he's working and he's storing that a group of men come before him. Years have gone by. I know people that have not seen their family members in years. They, you know, even if they know where they live, I know brothers and sisters that don't even have each other's phone numbers. They don't get together. They don't even get together at Christmas or Thanksgiving anymore. But there comes a time when Joseph looks up and here they come. And he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. But the tables have turned. Sometimes, kind of peculiar how things happen, isn't it? Joseph looks out and he sees his brothers. And at this time, what I want you to understand is he could have done anything to them he wanted to do. He could have had them killed. He could have cast them in prison for the rest of their life. He could have sent them back to starve to death. See, the next wall that Joseph got over, and I think this is one that we all need to be able to climb over, is the wall of forgiveness. Because when he looks at them, although he puts them through a series of tests, but I believe this was to prove what was in their heart. It's to prove to see if they've changed. But when he puts them through a series of tests, he cannot contain himself. And he goes out and he weeps and the tears run down his face. And he brings them to him and he puts his arm around them and he hugs them and he loves them and he cares for them. That's a wall that many people can't get over. But the scripture says that his bowels ran up and over the wall. And it ran over the wall because he was planted by a well and he brought forth fruit that's pleasing to God. See, when his brothers stood before him, not only did he choose to forgive them, but he chose to bless them. I remember one time a guy I used to work for, he was one of those arrogant, egotistical people. The only way to do it right was his way. Y'all know the kind? Yeah. Yeah. I was working for this guy, and you know, when you work with people, you have to learn to get along with them. Not everybody's going to see things the same way. And there was a guy in another plant, you know, in another state, and I heard him talking to him one day, and they were giving each other lip. And this is what the guy I used to work for said. He said, "One day you are going to report to me, and it's going to be different." And I thought, But what he meant was, you make my life miserable now, one day I'm going to make your life miserable. Let me tell you something, that's not right. I don't care what somebody's done to you, that's not God's way. One time, several years ago, I was fortunate enough to receive a promotion. And there was a guy in our building that had done me that way. He made my life miserable because he was miserable, by the way. You know that when people are like that, there's something wrong with them. But he came to me and he was all nervous because he thought that now that I was in a position of authority, that I was going to retaliate against him. And I just looked at him and I said, "You have nothing to worry about. I said, you just go do your job. That's all." You see, Joseph was in a position he could have done anything he wanted to do, but he chose to forgive him. And not only did he choose to forgive him, but he chose to bless him. Because he brought his father, all of his brethren, all of their children, and he made sure that they had everything that they needed. I want you to understand something. You are only here this morning in this house because God loves you, because God has blessed you, because you have been forgiven, because you have been covered with the grace of God. And if you're here this morning and you're not in some mental institution or overdosed on drugs, it's because of the grace of God. Now, when you get over the walls, here's what it leads to. In Genesis chapter number 41 and verse number 51 and 52, Joseph has two children while he's there, and he gives them names, and I want you to see what these names mean. It says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, he said, hath made me to forget all my toil and my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." You see, more than anything else in our lives, if we're going to get over the wall, it's because of God. It's not because of anything we've done. And folks, I understand there are walls. We all have walls. We all face them. We all can remember. We all have memories of things that were done to us that were wrong. But if you're ever going to get over the wall, it's going to be because you reach up and take the hand of God and you let Him help you get over it, because you can't do it by yourself. And Joseph said, forgetfulness and fruitfulness are the things that I found on the other side of the wall. Now, I don't know what song we got this morning, but there's a song that comes to my heart and my mind. There is a remedy. You see, whatever the situation in your life is, there's a remedy. Whatever the difficulty is, there's a remedy. It doesn't matter how far down you go, there is a remedy. It doesn't matter what the problem is, there is a remedy. You see, the same God that helped and blessed Joseph is the same God we serve this morning. And when we cry out to Him, whatever our trouble is, whatever our problem is, whatever our burden is, if we'll just bring it to Him, and that's why these altars are here on both sides, is God is standing with His arms outstretched saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Because a lot of people are missing the blessing that God wants to pour on their life. Because they've reached that wall. And they're standing at it and they're looking up. And they say, "I don't know how I'll ever get over it." The truth is, you cannot get over it by yourself. I want to ask them to come with a song this morning. And as they're coming, I'll ask you to stand to your feet. And I want to give you this special invitation. I want to give you an invitation to come. And take whatever it is that's in your life, whatever wall, whatever trouble, whatever burden, whatever heartache, and you'd lay it at the feet of Jesus, and you'd let the God of heaven that loves you more than you can even understand give you the help that you will find nowhere else. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to see it anywhere else. You've got to get it from God. This morning the altar is open as it always is. Would you come right now and let God help you get over your wall this morning? Go ahead and sing.
For the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind and searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wrong, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong, there is a remedy. For every sin sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place, there's an answer to the question. There is love for all the hate. There's a healer for the dying. He's the light, the truth, the way. There is a remedy. Every sin sick soul, there is the cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Track on for Holy Spirit. We're going to sing one more song this morning. Now, here's what I want you to understand this morning. You come into the house of God. We look for God to speak to our hearts. She's going to sing one more song. You don't want to be the person that goes home without getting what you need from God. I love church. Okay, I love to be in church. I love singing. I love preaching. I can stay here a while. We're not going to do that. Well, we don't stay long. You know, football season comes, we come in here, we're looking at our clock. Well, they're going to play at 12. We can't even remember who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, about, died on the cross for mine and your sins. The scripture said, He said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay His head. The scripture says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah that He had no form nor comeliness, that when you would see Him, you would desire Him. But I'll tell you what, His preaching and His life changed the world. And if you'll let Him, He can change your life. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but I do know this, God cares. God wants to help you, and this church loves you and wants to help you. She's going to sing this one more song, Holy Spirit. you are welcome here. The Holy Spirit, is He welcome in your heart and your life? Now, when she sings this song also, we're going to open the doors of the church. You can come pray. But if you feel like this is a place you'd like to be, let me tell you something. We'd like to have you. We just want what God wants. And I mean that with all my heart. Now, I know I've been here a year, but I got more passion for it now than I had when I came. I want God to do something so that when people come by and they hear about it, they're talking about, look at what God did. That's my heart's desire. So as she sings, if you want to pray, if you feel like this is a place you'd like to be, we'd love to have you. You can come by baptism or you can come by statement. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been baptized, we'll take that. But thank you. As I sing, go ahead.
That could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome.
Thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Mandy. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you, young people, for following God this morning. Brother Tommy's going to come and make an announcement, and if you would, dismiss us in prayer when you're done.